This is the story of three teenage boys, ages 15, 17, and 18. They have severe autism spectrum disorder, and they started communicating as recently as 2 weeks ago. Simply put, our purpose today is to hear their stories and to give you the chance to get to know them better. Here's Kyle Cohoon. He's 18 years old, and I meet him crawling on the floor. His therapist, Eric Lund, is trying to get him to sit still by using body mapping. It's a technique in neurologic music therapy where the practitioner percusses on different body parts to make the client aware of his or her body. Because often, people with autism spectrum disorders can't feel their body, which is why we hear Kyle shifting and moving and flailing.
Impulsivity is a very difficult thing to control. Right, Kyle? Because often the brain reacts with movement, differences like Kyle has, in a way that is more impulsive and instinctual rather than planned.
Before this recording, I had read that autistic people struggle with sensory processing. For instance, a light may appear twice as bright, or a sound could be four times as loud. So I asked the therapist if Kyle felt we were invading his space.
Well, you heard her say. Is moving away, is it a sensory thing?
Kyle has a straightforward answer.
I move. Opposite.
I move opposite to the way I want to and struggle to look at the world the way a typical person looking would.
What you just heard is what Kyle calls his real voice. It's coming out of an iPad. Eric, his therapist, steadies Kyle's hand while Kyle punches letters on the screen. It takes a few minutes to complete a sentence because Kyle will enter in a few letters, then get up and dart to the other side of the room. Eric has to corral Kyle back over to his designated chair and steady him for another few letters.
Stop your body.
Sometimes Eric asks Kyle if he needs more tempo, which means he needs to be tapped on or have his head squeezed so his mind can focus on communicating.
Get into your body, think about what you were feeling. Ideate, then motivate, then execute what you want to do.
After a few minutes of this routine, Kyle types up something about the elephant, or reporter rather, in the room.
I am going crazy over this interview. She asks good questions. Have got to say she's really pretty. You are welcome here anytime to interview us lucky gentlemen.
Here's his therapist, Eric, again.
We know Stephen Hawking, you know, the renowned physicist who is not able to move his body in any way. We saw him as a very able-bodied person when he was younger. And as his body slowly progressed, we always knew that his mind was in there. We always knew that he was brilliant. And even now that he cannot move his body in any way, he is still considered to be profoundly brilliant, and he is. And yet, we do not come to any conclusion like that about anybody who's born with a disorder like that. And I think that says a lot about the way we view people and how inhumane it is. These people have brilliant minds, and we should always assume that.
Because of this therapy, called supported typing, Kyle has been able to communicate with his teachers at school. Here's his mother, Cindy Cohoon. She's reading a transcript of Kyle's conversations with his teachers.
Let's see. It says, good morning. Do you want raisins, Pop-Tarts, or nothing for breakfast? He wrote nothing. Are you tired? Yes. Did you stay up all night? Yes. He started to seem agitated, and I asked if he wanted to stop. Yes. And she asked, would you rather relax? Yes.
He's also able to tell them when he's not feeling well.
He told them, he's like, his ears hurt, his stomach hurts, call mom, because he's going home. That's what he typed for him down at Castle. So he called me, and I got him. Came and got him.
Cindy feels as though she's just now getting to know her 18-year-old son.
Our whole family is a St. Louis Cardinal family, except for Kyle. He's Boston Red Sox. Yeah, he's kind of going against the grain with everything. He likes country music. We're all liking rock, and he's his own man.
And you're just now learning this?
Yes, we're just now finding this out.
Her other son, Nate, is another story. He's 15, and he also has autism spectrum disorder, although Nate has more control of his body. When I meet him today, he's smiling ear to ear.
Well, why don't you ask her what her name is?
What's your name?
Cass.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
What is your name?
Nathan.
What do you want to tell her?
Yeah.
Hand me your hand, Nate. Let's see what you want to tell Cass.
Thanks for asking. I don't have control over my voice, that I am a thinking person, and that I am intelligent despite what questions many people want to think. You think that I am a stupid person because of the things coming out of my voice, but my body is not under my control. I want to learn about everything.
Nate started typing 2 weeks ago, and he's pretty fast. So much so that Eric changes his hand position to provide less support.
And so because you have a strong finger, you don't need support on your hands anymore. So now you need support on your wrist. And so that's a gradual decrease in support because you become more independent, right?
Yeah.
And so once you have that strong finger, then you don't need support on your hands. And now you need support on your wrist. And pretty soon you'll need support on your arm. You might even need support on your arm. But right now I'm going to just do the next step.
Eric holds two fingers under Nate's wrist and pulls back on Nate's hand. It's kind of like pushing on a gas pedal. Nate has to push down to indicate he's ready to type a letter.
I am every education teacher's nightmare. I can't express myself to anyone. I want to let them know that I am in here and want to be respected for the thinking person that I am.
I ask him what is the most upsetting thing about living with autism. He first tries to answer with his own voice box.
Same voice.
Get into your voice. Get into your voice.
Same voice.
Then he responds to my question on his iPad. Listen closely. Eric asks Nate if he approves of what's on the screen before Nate can press play.
Look at that word. Do you want to correct anything about it? Or is it good?
You're good.
Have agitation over not ever having a total voice that excites the question like my typing. There's a need for really questioning people that will doubt the stereotypes that we are stupid people and not intelligent, smart individuals.
Again, here's Nate and Kyle's mom, Cindy.
What do you think when you hear these responses?
I'm just flabbergasted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just flabbergasted. It's coming out of their mouths and minds and... You know, so I was told they were autistic and retarded and put them in a home. And then I got this stuff coming out of their mouths. So it's just awesome.
It's recent, too.
Yeah, me. Yeah, it's very recent. What, 2 weeks?
Did you ever think he was having thoughts this complex?
No. No, because he could always talk, so I just thought that was just his limitations. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know.
What about Nate? Anything he said that... struck you once he started using the iPad?
What he said, he thought he was a burden to the family and he felt unloved. That about killed me. And so I tell him I love him every single day. He's not a burden. I mean, that's my partner in crime right there. You know? So that just about killed me when he said that.
Something I've observed in the few hours I spent with these boys is they are so excited to speak and answer my questions. Here's Nate telling me what he typed.
Few words. I am patient.
I am patient.
With anything.
Anything.
You ask.
You ask.
From my.
From my.
Point all.
Point.
All.
All.
Questions.
Questions.
Are good.
Are good.
To go.
Good to go.
They call themselves advocates for people with autism. Eric says the therapists are actually trying to keep up with their clients.
I think we try our best to set high standards for them. But the standards that they set for themselves and for us, like, we don't have a choice. Like we have to.
The boys want to convey that they're competent, despite their physical limitations. But as with any person, there are good days and not so good days.
Waking up your arm. And now your hand.
I met 17-year-old Josh Burkaw on a day that was particularly challenging for him. He couldn't control his voice and his movements. Josh was frustrated that he couldn't answer my questions. Here's his therapist, Casey DePriest.
I actually took him out of the room because I wanted to make sure that you could hear Nate. And he said, I pestered, I can't keep quiet. So I think that's really important for us to remember, too, that, you know, this is not a behavior. This is really something that he struggles with every day within his body. Just like Nate described, you know, my voice isn't reliable. You know, people hear the things that I say or see the things that my body does, and they think that's me, but that's really not me. And so, you know, he was really upset that he couldn't stop his body. He actually was getting some different items from around the room to try to focus on to get his body, get his voice to stop so that he wouldn't disturb Nate. And right now, he's just really struggling today. That's just something, it's a struggle that he's having.
Before I left, Casey showed me his iPad. He had typed, "You took the time to hear the truth about our bodies and our voices. Thank you for your patience." Josh started typing last year, and in January, he attended a conference in Indianapolis to meet other typers in Indiana. There, he typed, "Many friends give me hope." A few months later, Josh started a Twitter account. His first tweet says, "Josh is here."
Ready? What do you want to say to Kyle?
I went back to visit Josh. His body was much more calm. Have a listen yourself.
Pull up a chair. Can we rest a minute? Okay.
Right now, he's working with Casey DePriest, who owns Integrative Music Therapy. Here's Casey.
One of the things about supportive typing that we continue to we've heard about, and it's been part of our training, but one of the things that we really see is that different people in the environment, if they don't know that you are going to be able to see them as a whole person or not, it can give them a lot of anxiety and make it a lot more difficult for them to get focused within their bodies, get focused in their minds to be able to get their words out. And so you're here for the second time, and I think that they're seeing that, okay, this is somebody who's going to represent us and let us use our voices.
Josh went to a workshop last weekend where he learned to type with two hands.
It was unbelievable. I thought it made a lot of difference in my eyes.
Your eye contact with the keyboard was so much different when you were two-handed typing versus one-handed typing.
The ultimate goal is for the boys to become less dependent, where they would only require a therapist's hand on their shoulder while typing. Kyle, he's pretty optimistic.
I am looking towards a brighter future every day.
Really, Kyle, you've been fantastic in the last few weeks, especially since you found your voice. Like, the ability to inhibit the movements that you don't want has just been, like, fantastic.
For now, they're using their voices to bring attention to their individuality and to autism, which they say is something that demands more attention and respect. I'm joined in the studio by several live guests. We have 15-year-old Nate Cohoon, his mother Cindy, and his grandmother Norma. Also, we have 17-year-old Josh Burkaw and his mother Cammy and his grandmother Judy, and also neurologic music therapists Eric Lund and Casey DePriest, and they're here to answer your questions. The boys, in particular, everyone can say hello. I think, Josh, you have something to say.
Hi, my name is Josh. I think this is quite exciting to be your guest. Please call in with your questions at 812-426-7400.
Or you can tweet us at The Trend Talks. If you need those numbers again, 812-426-7400. We're answering your questions live. The purpose of this trend program is to tell these boys amazing stories so you can hear what they want you to know. They would really like to take your questions so they can show you with their new voices what they know, what they care about, and why this matters. So please give us your questions. And how's Nate doing over there?
Almost.
He's still typing up something for the audience. In the meantime, we're going to play a clip here, but we will rejoin you, have those questions ready to go.
Here we go,
waiting. Oh, wait. Hold on a second. Nate.
Thank you, Cass, for having us here.
Thanks. It is great to be here to talk our experience.
All right, we already have a caller, guys. You all sparked some interest right away. Let's see if we can get that caller on the line. Right. If you want to put the headphones on. All right, caller, are you there?
Yes.
All right, what's your name?
My name's Rosemary.
Hi, Rosemary. And what's your question and who is it for?
Well, it's kind of for anyone who chooses to answer it. I'm just fascinated by this. And what I'm interested in is how did these young men, you know, you get the impression that, of course, as they said originally, that there's limited learning. But it seems like these young men obviously knew how to spell already before they were given the keyboards. So can you tell me a little bit about the kind of education they were getting that then ultimately enabled them when they were worked with the therapists and the keyboards to actually find their voices?
Certainly. Well, I tell you what, a good way to answer this question, maybe have a therapist answer it, and then while our next clip is playing, the boys can tell you the answer to that question. The question was how they learned to spell, what their education has been like so far. So who wants to answer that?
I'll be happy to start. This is Casey.
Casey DePriest.
Yes, both of these boys have been in special education, life skills classes, and have not really had access to general academics. But what they tell us is that they have just absorbed information. They've learned from TV. They've learned from looking at books and magazines, having people read to them. So just anywhere that they could get the information, they have found it. And for way too long, people didn't know that they were accessing the information that they were in the way that they were. And so the spelling just happens. It's something that they definitely have just worked on in their own minds without formal training. So,
all right, Rosemary, we're going to have the boys answer your question as well, but we've got another clip for you. In the meantime, callers, please have your questions ready. The number 812-426-7400. Next on the program, we have two dueling experts' takes on supported typing. It's a relatively new practice in autism treatment. It was first studied in the 90s, and it got a bad reception from the research community because facilitators were dictating what they wanted their clients to say. Although the majority of existing research is not in favor of the supported typing method, there are new studies underway, one of which was funded by the National Institutes of Health. First up, Stephen Camerata. He's a professor of hearing and speech sciences and psychiatry at Vanderbilt University. Then we'll hear Christine Ashby, the director of the Institute on Communication and Inclusion at Syracuse University. She oversees the research and training on communication strategies for people with disabilities who are non-speaking or who have limited speech. What do you know about supported typing?
So actually quite a bit. I've been around long enough that we saw the rise of supported typing, which was called facilitated communication back in the 90s. There were a number of unfortunate situations where children were actually taken away from their parents because of false accusations. And then, of course, parents are very concerned when people take their children away from them. So in the court cases and so on, it turned out that the supported typing, the messages were actually originating from the clinicians and not from the children. And there were ways of testing that. And so it's been a big problem in any of these kinds of approaches to separate what the clinician might do unconsciously versus what the child is actually communicating. And that's anytime you have supported typing, you have that kind of a problem in terms of identifying who's actually generating the messages.
And so is there a rift between facilitated communication and supported typing? Are they trying to put distance there between, okay, this isn't what it was in the 90s, we have more methods and standards in place to protect the practice?
Yeah, so basically if you're going to use that kind of an approach, what you want to do is some kind of a test to be sure the messages are actually coming from the child. But so far, in fact, there's been no exception to this. The messages have come from the clinician. and not from the child. So it seems like you want to do that as a fundamental screening of the process for anybody that wanted to use it.
So you are still skeptical about supported typing?
I'm a scientist, so we need to see evidence on anything. I'm a clinician scientist to be sure, but we want to use a child's valuable learning time to the best that it can be. And so if there's a procedure like this where there's a question about whether it's effective or not, then we want to go ahead and use effective communication, effective treatments with a child in favor of ones where there's controversy or, in this case, actually negative evidence that, in fact, it's not working.
What do you think right now is the most effective means for communicating with a child who's autistic?
Well, so do you mean children who aren't speaking, or do you mean children with autism?
Right,
more broadly?
Right. 'Cause children who can't speak because of autism.
Okay, yeah. So when we're treating children with autism who can't speak, we offer them alternative means of communication. So they could use an augmentative device, could be an electronic device, could be a picture book that's kind of low-tech. It could be a picture exchange system. There's kind of actually a packaged intervention that does that. We also offer all children sign language. A few of the children prefer sign language to pictures. So it just depends. We could use gestures. We could use like an augmentative device, either a high-tech device like an iPad or an electronic device, or a lower-tech device like pictures or picture books.
As a clinician, how do you approach supported typing if a parent says, okay, this is something that we would want to pursue? How do you kind of move that interaction?
Yeah, so what we do there is we say, you know, that there's controversy around it. And in order to be sure we're giving good clinical services, we want to test out whether the message was coming from the clinician or the child. And we would do that barrier trial that I was telling you about. And, you know, inevitably what happens is the messages are coming from the clinician, and we're able to show the parents that the messages aren't coming from the child. So I guess we got to a point where there was a supported typing situation where the messages came from the child. We would say, well, that's good evidence that it came from the child, so you can go ahead with this kind of thing. And we would certainly periodically check to be sure, in fact, the messages were coming from the child. But so far, that hasn't happened.
The shift to talking about supported typing is really a recognition that this is a form of communication access that helps people be able to access instruction, access using a device by pointing, and that it's part of a much larger repertoire of assistive technology supports that are available for folks.
So you would describe, I guess, supported typing as under the umbrella of facilitated communication.
I see it as a form of alternative and augmentative communication, a communication access method. We still use the terms pretty interchangeably, but a lot of times we'll talk about typing with support or typing to communicate as because it reflects that people hopefully develop greater and greater independence with the eventual hope that they type independently with no touch at all.
Well, it is also... It's a controversial practice. I have looked at older studies from the 90s, and researchers had deemed it a fallible practice. I wanted to know if things are different, how facilitated communication or supportive typing, are there new checks and balances in place? What's going on there?
Yeah, I think that's really important. When the early studies came out, the question was really about validation. Can we prove that the words that are being communicated are the words of the user, or are they being manipulated or influenced in some way by the person providing the physical support? So I think, first of all, we developed a set of standards of best practice, and that happened in the early 90s, but we encourage people to be utilizing these best practice standards that include things such as making sure the person can type with multiple facilitators, ensuring that you are working on fading that physical support so that the person is typing with less and less touch. We want people to develop an independent yes-no so that they can verify information if needed without any kind of touch. And we start with those assumptions right from the beginning, and we train people with the idea that you're always moving towards greater independence. So I think we also, there's been a lot of other research that's been done since those that supports and doesn't support authorship using a variety of methodologies. One of the things we know is that a lot of people with autism have extreme anxiety and require a lot of time to get comfortable in a setting. So a lot of the initial really negative studies, the way that they were conducted and the methodologies used didn't put people in a position to be able to demonstrate what they know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think perhaps the biggest shift that's happened in the last few years is there's been studies done on eye tracking, using eye gaze. There have been studies that look at lexical analysis of the word type. So different kinds of methodologies that have given credence to authorship. But also we've had numerous people who once required extensive support to communicate that now communicate independently without any touch at all. And we also had shifted, I always try to get people to shift from a global question of does supported typing or facilitated communication work to do we have concrete evidence that this method of communication is useful and valid for this individual person.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN. I'm joined in the studio by 15-year-old Nate Cohoon and 17-year-old Josh Burkaw. I know we have a caller on the line, so when we get back from our break, we're going to answer the last caller's question and then take the next call from Terry.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. The topic today is a story about three young men dealing with autism spectrum disorder. What would you ask someone who only recently acquired a voice to answer questions about their very misunderstood condition? Well, two of them are in the studio today, and they want to talk with you. Please call 812-426-7400 and ask them anything. Support comes in part from Raven Tire and Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Raven offers a selection of tire brands, including Michelin and Goodyear, along with complete auto service and recommended maintenance by trained technicians. Information on the web at raventire.com.
We're back on The Trend. This is a very interactive program. We have two teenage boys with a severe autism spectrum disorder, and they're answering your questions to help show you what's possible while you're listening in your car, at home, wherever you are. Our last caller had a question for the boys about how they're able to spell and what their education has been like so far, because they've been using these iPads, this way of communication, and giving very complex, very thoughtful answers. So, Josh, let's go to you first. What was your answer to the caller?
I learned from TV, videos, and the years our teachers tried to teach us. I have taken in everything all along. Now I am ready to go toward my goals.
I heard noise.
And before we go to Nate, Cammy, you're Josh's mother. I wanted to know, I mean, you had a reaction to that. What surprised you about that answer?
I just had never heard him express it that way before. I guess deep down I always knew when I would look at him that he was doing that. But to hear him express it that way, that all along he's been taking everything in, and sometimes that's good and that's bad. Over the years, all the memories come flashing back, but it's just amazing to me. It was just
how has this impacted your relationship?
Oh, okay, I can say it then. Last night, for the first time in 17 years, he, without being prodded, without any kind of, you know, initiation, I asked him. I said, "You look like you're trying to tell me something." And he typed out yes, and I said, "Well, what is it?" Because he was very emotional about it. And he typed out, "I love you." I have waited 17 years to hear that. I can't even express what that feels like. I can't. There's no words. There's just, I never knew if he loved me or not. I never knew if he, there were days I wondered if he even, if I walked off the face of the earth, if he wondered if you know, if he'd care. And now I know.
Oh.
Now I know.
Well, we're so thankful that he could join us today in the studio and that you could come. And, well, Nate, he's sitting over here and he has a fully typed out answer. I'm curious, what was your answer to the caller?
I learned how to read by reading the television text on the screen. It took time to learn on my own since no one taught me how to. But I'm thankful to my mother for always respecting my intelligence.
Wow. Thank you, Nate. Well, we have another caller on the line with another question. So let's go ahead and talk to Terry. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Terry. Tell us your question and who it's for.
Okay, I have a question. It could be for all three boys. I actually know all three of them, so it's very exciting for me. But I'm wondering how typing has changed their life and how it's made them better, and if they like typing to communicate, you know, better than how they some of them were able to communicate somewhat before.
All right. Well, the question, how do you like typing? How has it affected your lives? That's the next question. Let's go to another break, and we'll take another caller on the line. You guys are stirring up conversation in the tri-state.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. The topic today is a story about three young men dealing with autism spectrum disorder. You can talk to them. You can ask your questions. Two of them are in the studio today, and they want to talk with you. Please call 812-426-7400 and ask them your question. Support comes in part from Evansville Day School, partnering with parents to offer a student-centered education program for students junior pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at evansvilledayschool.org or 812-476-3039.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. On today's show, we are talking with two teenage boys live here in the studio about what their life is like with severe autism spectrum disorder. And we've had quite some very perplexing and amazing responses. And we actually have another caller on the line. I'm going to go ahead and take that question. We can write it down. They're still typing from the previous caller. So I'll go ahead and take that call. You all continue. All right. Actually, is Josh ready to go?
Yeah. Well,
all right.
He has a start. He probably has more.
Sure.
He has a start. He probably has more to say, but here is his
first. So the question
sentence.
Was, how has typing changed your life? And here's the first part of what Josh has to say.
Typing has changed everything.
Can you play it again close to the mic?
Typing has changed everything.
And John, or Nate, we've got one for you.
Typing is the best thing to have ever happened.
Oh. Well, and we have another caller on the line. I think she just said amazing. Who is this?
My name is Renee.
Hi, Renee. What is your question, and who do you want to talk to?
Well, probably the least communicative. Were there certain people, even prior to the typing, that you were able to communicate with or that you just linked with and had an understanding between the two of you that, you know, more of a communication with?
Okay, so kind of a nonverbal type of connection.
Right, either their mom or, you know, even strangers. They like appreciate when people would try to say hi and talk to them and acknowledge them, or did it make them uncomfortable?
Sure. Well, we can go ahead and try to answer that question. Boys, the question was whether you all had kind of a nonverbal communication connection with somebody before you started typing, where you had an understanding or a friendship or you felt connected to somebody before typing. So, and you know, maybe while he's typing, Cammy, could I ask you a couple questions?
Yes.
Well, I wanted to know, I mean, Josh has been typing since September, and I wanted to know, maybe you could tell the listeners what your life was like before he started typing.
Oh, my goodness. It's like night and day. He has several medical issues that he chokes on things due to a surgery he had had. He has seizures. He has some other issues, too, that we never knew. Mm-hmm. You know, we never knew if he was choking on something. We never knew if he'd had a seizure. We never knew, you know, if he had an ear infection. We never knew if he had a headache. Some of the things that we took as behaviors. One day in particular, I remember it was right after he started typing and he had been beating his head. And all of a sudden I went, oh my gosh, I can go get the iPad. Uh-huh. And I went and got it and I said, Josh, why are you hitting your head? And he said, head hurts. And I went, okay, what do you need? He typed out Tylenol. Uh-huh. And I just went, oh my gosh, how many times in the past have I said, stop, we don't do that, that's a behavior, you know, stop, we don't hit our head. And how many times must he have been so frustrated with me? Mm. And yet, you know, he is so forgiving. Mm. He has gone back, I've apologized to him, and he has been so kind to forgive me.
Well, what I've noticed about Josh when I recorded the few times was he's very considerate. I mean, he was very concerned that he was being, you know, vocal with his voice box and didn't want to interrupt my recordings with Nate or anybody else. I mean, has he been able to reveal other parts of his personality?
Oh, my goodness. One of the things that has happened this last year, probably something that's very important, you know, to my family, faith is such an important part in our family. It just is. One of the things I've prayed for my kids all along is that they would know who Jesus was and would be able to get baptized. And I never even considered that would be something maybe we'd have for Josh. And when we moved him up to our high school group, because I work with the high school kids at our church from the special needs ministry, we witnessed a baptism in church, and he typed out, I want that. And I went, okay. And he insisted on it and insisted on it. And so March 16th, he was baptized in front of the whole church. We asked him if he wanted to do it privately or in front of the church. He wanted to do it in front of the church. He typed out his confession on his iPad. They hooked it up to the speaker. It was incredible. And he knows why. He knows everything about it. He has a heart for people. I found that he wants to be a missionary in Mexico.
Well, he's very, I feel like taking big risks and wants to be very public in his statements. Yes. He's called himself an advocate in the times that I've talked with him, and Nate as well. So it's just an amazing thing that, you know, once you get a hold of that voice, you really want to use it to the maximum, it seems.
And they want to help. I think one of the things that we've learned just from also looking at other kids who have found their voice, just even reading the books by like Carly Fleischman or Ido, they are so concerned about other kids, which totally kind of blows the myth out of the water that they don't care about, you know, they have no empathy. Mm-hmm. They're concerned about other kids mm-hmm. that don't have a voice yet, and they want them to have that. Mm-hmm. And I see that in him. I see that in his heart. So,
well, is there other treatments that you have tried that are some that work better than others? Or what has been, I mean, comparing, what has been the best?
We feel like we have been blessed to be able to have some of the resources to do, you know, with some help. We have done, we started when he was very young. We did secretin. We did auditory listening. We did every type of therapy, you know, that would come across. We have done stem cells. We went to Panama City, Panama, for adult stem cells.
Oh, my gosh.
We did do ABA for 6 years. Not to say that some of those things did not. I think everything has helped a little bit along the way. We have had some of the behaviors that we've gotten, you know, mm-hmm. better. Nothing has given us communication. Mm-hmm. nothing. And music therapy has always been the thing that has motivated him, because motivation has always been our biggest problem.
Really?
And Casey's had him for 10 years, and always got more out of him than anything else. He always had more sounds, more, but it was because, I believe, the motivation. But what we have seen more recently is, and what we're hearing from him, is the body movement. It's just, that's what he's telling me, you know, because we always wondered, why would you do this? And, you know, you seemed you wanted to do this, but then you do that. And he's able to tell us now, my body does not listen to what I'm telling it to do. It just doesn't.
Are people critical, saying, well, you know, could you be wrong about this treatment, that maybe you're imposing your desires on this outcome?
We've heard, you know, I was very skeptical the first time he typed, you know, for Casey. I even went, it gave you that hope, and you just say, oh, I've done everything. There's no way that, you know, but when we started actually researching and looking at the kids are doing, and the kids that are typing independently, and, you know, and that's the whole goal, is to be typing independently. But when he types for you, there's no question. And my daughter even had that. She said, Mom, I just really thought it was maybe him typing, you know, you wanting him to type. And she typed one night with him, and she said, he's typing. He's typing. And I said, yes, I know.
And well, Dad, where were you, daughter?
I know. Well, and she's always been one of his biggest advocates, so it's been awesome to see. But it's...
Well, the boys are looking up like, all right, guys, would you please let us speak now? So our last caller was wanting to know... seems like ages ago.
What their nonverbal forms
right.
of communication the question, did they have before?
The question was how you had communicated before typing, if you had a connection with someone before you were able to use what you call your real voice. Let's go to Nate first this time. Let's hear what he had to say.
I really like people that talk to me like I have intelligence. I think people think we are not that smart, but we are treated dumb.
That's a great answer, Nate. Let's hear from Josh.
I had some signs that helped, but typing is more effective in helping me be heard.
Wow. Well, and that's something that I personally want to know from you boys is, you know, how can we, when I say we, I mean the listeners, I mean the community that's listening right now, how can we treat you better, work with you better, talk with you better? What needs to change? Josh looks really excited. We're going to go to another break. These guys are going to work on my question. And if you have yours, well, give us a call. The number is 812-426-7400 or tweet us at The Trend Talks.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. The topic today is the story of three young men dealing with autism spectrum disorder. What would you ask someone who only recently acquired a voice to answer questions about their very misunderstood condition? Well, two of them are in the studio today, and they want to talk with you. Please call 812-426-7400 and ask them anything.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN. We're having a ball here talking about autism spectrum disorder. Yes, it's possible. We're having laughs. We're enjoying ourselves because these two gentlemen are able to answer your questions live on the air on a topic that has been misunderstood for so long. And right now they're answering my question about, you know, how we can interact with people with autism spectrum disorder better, especially if they're unable to communicate in ways we understand. Also, we have some Twitter interaction going on. Tim Black has asked whether these boys are interested in possibly writing a book in light of your new typing skills. So we can get to that one after you work on mine. Eric Lund is a music therapist. Is there any way you can do two things at once, or should I do a song and dance here? You can lean in.
I might have to say every other word.
Okay, that's fine. Well, Eric, I know when I spoke with you, you said the ultimate goal here with supported typing is independence for these young men and all your clients, really. And that looks like a variety of different things. I know you said typing with just a hand on their shoulder. Could you elaborate a little more on that?
Well, yeah, the ultimate goal is independence. And what we're doing here today with typing is just one method, one strategy to get to that end goal of, sorry, I'm not helping you, Nate, to one end goal of independence. And independence, yes, looks like many different things for many different people, but it's something that is obviously needing to be strived for. And I think, considering that our First Amendment is freedom of speech, I think that's a very important way to start there. We start at speech and trying to find a way to give everybody the ability to communicate the best that they are able to.
Mm-hmm. Well, and let's not forget Kyle in this conversation. It's Nate's brother. In the story at the beginning of this program, we heard Kyle and how he's improving. How has typing affected how he controls his body?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing is that, I mean, he would have...
Remember how Thunder?
He would have very out-of-control behaviors. I mean, there were moments where he would bite and hit and attack. There were moments when he would just be sort of out of control.
Hmm.
I'm going to have his mother talk about it.
Yeah, his mother is here in the studio. We're very fortunate to have a full house. Thanks for hopping in, Cindy.
His behavior has calmed down greatly since he learned to type.
Why do you think that is?
He can communicate with us now. He can tell us what he wants.
And I imagine when you're trying to say something and nobody's understanding you, how frustrating, how isolating, and depression would fall
right.
in with that.
Yeah.
So his body has calmed since he started typing.
Yes, he has. It's just a completely different child now. He's just a joy to be around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great.
Oh. Well, we have another caller on the line. Let's take that call. Caller, are you there? Hi. Hi. What's your name?
It's Kathy.
Hi, Kathy.
And I, as a mother, I'm calling because I just want to let his mother know how totally moving it is to hear her and how in awe I am of what a great mother she has been. And it was so touching when she finally said that she heard that he said that he loved her and how much that had to mean, because it just overwhelmed me. And I just want to let her know she's a great mom, and I appreciate everything she's done and the patience that she's had to do this all these years.
Wow.
And happy Mother's Day to her.
Okay.
And I do have a question, and it could be for anybody that's a specialist in this area. It seems like most of the patients seem to be male, and I was wondering if that is if there's a reason, or if it someone had said to me possibly that it might be males' reaction to vaccinations of children. I mean, that was just something that I heard, but it was just a question. I don't see or hear about it too much in females, or maybe I'm wrong.
Okay.
But that
Great.
Was my question.
All right. Thanks for your comment and question, Kathy. We will try to get that answered. These boys are pretty busy, and we've got 5 more minutes left in this program. Let me voice that to you all. First of all, caller wanted to, it was for you, Cammie. She was saying that you are a great mother, and she was wishing you a happy Mother's Day. But also the question was, you know, why it seems there are three boys on this program. You know, is there a reason behind that? But I know you all both, you work with girls as well. Either of you want to?
Yeah, we have, the incidences of autism spectrum disorder are higher among boys. But yeah, I mean, there are certainly young ladies out there that need just as much support as these men do.
Yeah. And to be clear, there is no known cause of autism at this point. Researchers are still trying to wrap their heads around it and obviously still looking into treatment, which is why supported typing still hasn't made its way into the general therapy practice. So it looks like we have an answer to my question, which was how should the wider community interact with people with severe autism spectrum disorder? And let's go with Josh's answer.
Is there anything you want to add?
Help typers enjoy their lives by providing access to education that lets us have support for our bodies.
Nate, you ready to roll?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Here's Nate's answer.
Help typers enjoy their lives by providing access to education that lets us have support for our bodies.
In case you missed it.
Yes, I would say that people need to give us more respect by giving us a proper education.
All right. And maybe we can make this last question short and we can wrap up the program. We had a tweet from, long day. Tweet from Tim Black, who's asking if you boys are interested in writing a book now that you're able to type. And again, maybe we could squeeze in one more call, one more tweet. The number 812-426-7400.
The letter Y, not the word Y.
The letter Y at the Trend Talks. And Casey?
Oh, no. Oh, we're going to get started.
Okay. It's a full house here on the Trend. I was saying we have more guests in here than the Affordable Care Act program. And Casey just wrote for me that you all, if there are questions you still have, we can answer them on our webpage after the program airs. That's going to be online at WNIN.org. Of course, I know Integrative Music Therapy has a Facebook page as well. So you can follow them there. So we've got just a minute left on the program. Can we get an answer real quick?
Go.
We're going to find out if these boys have any interest in penning something about their experience.
Nate's ready.
All right, Nate, let's hear what you have to say.
Yes, that would be awesome.
All right, I look forward to reading that. We could do a book review. All right. Just a few more seconds left.
He has yes, because people need...
So far, he said, yes, because people need.
We can finish.
All right. We're going to have to post that online. But
to know.
People need to know. That's on the Trend. Find more information on our page, WNIN.org, and follow us on Twitter, at The Trend Talks. This is WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro.